I was an infantryman with the 2nd Battalion, Royal Regiment of Fusiliers. There was about 50 of us that flew out and 11, including myself, come home unharmed. So that was really hard, and I'll be honest, it took me about a decade. You know, I left in 2010 and I sort of started to get my stuff together. Well, really, to be honest, joining the academy, man. You probably hear this a lot, it might become blasé to you now, but it changed my life, man. So powerful, such a powerful environment to be in.
And now you're full-time in property?
Full-time, yeah.
What did you make last night?
Last night, turnover was 61k. Been happening so fast, I don't really get a chance to reflect, but now saying out loud, yeah, a lot's happened.
You did it. You made it to Winners on a Wednesday.
Feels good. Feels good. Absolutely. It's a big milestone, this is. Very proud to be here. Thanks for having me in your house.
Yeah, that's welcome.
Huge thing.
We grew up not too far apart as well.
That's
a Birmingham lad.
That's right. Best city in the world, God's own.
So you're killing it on the property side of things. And like a year ago, you didn't have any property experience. What are you doing? And why are you so successful? How are you so successful?
Well, it was hard at the start, I'll be honest, but I mean, I've just followed everything you've taught me, to be honest. I feel like in the early days, if you give me 10 points of things I should do, I probably easily digested maybe 7 of them, and when something wasn't going right and I'd call a mentor, it'd be the 8th, 9th and 10th thing, I'd be like, yeah, somebody did say that actually, and start doing basically everything I was taught, and it's just worked like a dream, like the formula works 100%. You know?
And now you're full-time in property.
Full-time, yeah.
Then you had your best month ever last month. What did you make last month?
Last night, turnover was 61k last month.
61 yeah. grand.
Yeah. Crazy numbers.
Dude. Yeah. And what sort of profit is that?
It was only about half profit. But
yeah, it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So you made about 30 grand in a month. How? What were you doing?
Well, last month I did 2 JVs as well, which I'll get a property agreed. I'll get someone else to just say, like, I get you to JV, put your money into an SA that I'll find.
Yeah.
So you'll put your money in. It'll usually be at a premium as well. It's expensive to JV with me. I'm doing things well. I've got a team with me that are being paid too. We're doing all the management. It's fully hands off for you.
So what profit percentage did you
say? I'll give the investor like 40% of the profit.
And you'll take 60.
And I'll take 60. That gives me then some left to divvy up between the team and have the work.
Yeah.
You know, the workload distributed amongst us. And but what I've started doing lately, because I wanted to get a bit more hands off with the rent-to-rents, is I'd sell another fraction then of what's remaining to another investor. So rather than just selling a deal for 3K, I'm like selling percentages and then keeping a percentage too.
So basically, you've become a master at finding deals. And you're finding all kinds of deals, BRRs, flips, rent-to-rent, serviced accommodations in Birmingham and outside of Birmingham.
Yeah.
And then you're just selling them, partnering, and making money.
All of that, yeah, it's working quite well, yeah.
I can't believe 61 grand turnover a month. It's almost too good to be true.
It is, it's insane. Now and again, I get fed up and I go, do you know what, let me check my bank. I said it for a joke before, and now I actually do it. Now and again, I just check the bank and yeah, it's not that bad. Whatever was bothering you.
So do you keep properties yourself as well? I mean, how many properties have you
I've got five, five but
you
I'm
took on yourself?
Yeah, but I've only got liabilities on 2 of them. My very first one, I keep to myself. And I've got like little bits of liability dotted about, but most of it is like I've got somewhere, I've got one, for example, that's 0 liability and 30% of the profit I get. I'm like a consultant on that one.
Right.
So I just consult and help and advise and stuff. Yeah.
So what has been the key to your success? Because this is all quite, it's only in the last, I mean, it's now been about a year, I think, since we met.
Yeah, about a year now. Just saw the mark of my full 12 months in the academy. That was on the 6th of May. So, I think the key thing is, like you told me early on, add value. And I was just doing that. I was just trying to help people. Like I've mastered through the courses, watching the videos again and again and again and again, making notes, coming to the courses too, in person, and understood rent to rent, understood deal finding, and was able to advise people then, add value that way, get my name out and stuff. So build some credibility. And now I'm like, literally I've got so many people that want to JV with me. It's insane. Like a lot of people want to JV. Probably easier for me to do a JV right now than it would be to sell a deal.
Well, the other interesting thing is with you just walk into estate agents and you'll walk out with a deal. You things are green. You'll have taken on. I mean, you've had so many like lease option agreements where people have just been like, "Yeah, we'll do it." You seem to have a brilliant way about you of actually securing deals, getting like you're a closer. Yeah. And that's what most people struggle with. You know, most people, they understand the theory and all this, and they have their spreadsheets and their right move links, but actually closing the deal is what you're good at. So how do you do that? Like, if I'm a landlord and you're trying to secure a rent to rent, what do you say to me? How are you closing them out?
I mean, I'd highlight the, okay, and this is something I say to people as well when I'm trying to add value and help and advise them. I say, you need to understand that we are offering a good service. And this is just me repeating your words here, you know. But you need to understand that you are offering a good service. There's management companies out there that do less than what we do, and they charge a fee. We're going to stage your house, your furniture's a gift, and it's completely hands-off. We handle everything, and we pass the fees on to the clients. So explaining that in that way is a huge plus. Also, I always love to bring up Section 21, tenants' rights.
Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, that's obviously, you know, it's difficult to get people out of the house if they're on an AST contract. Whereas if us on a company, I always explain it to be like a phone contract. And that if I don't pay you on the day, what happens with your phone bill? It gets cut off. It's the same with us. So I explain things in that way, and I'll give them, I go over my contract with them and show them that it is like that, and it is fair that we'll guarantee you the rent every month. In that way, that helps a lot.
So I'm a landlord, and I want £1,000 for my Birmingham City apartment, and you know that you could rent it out for £100 a night, and you could make a few £1,000 minus your expenses. You could be left with £1,000 profit, right? I'm a landlord. I want £1,000. So what are you going to do? What's the first thing? Are you going to phone me? Are you going to book a viewing? Like, how are you going
to? I do a lot of work on the phones, to be honest. And I'll tell them up front before I book a viewing. I'd let them know it's for a company. I never just say, "Do you do a company let?" And pause. I'll explain to them who I am and what I do. And I think a key thing as well is to explain who you're going to be housing. That's a key thing. And I always say to people, like, get relationships, get some credibility through relationships with recruitment agencies, with the NHS, with whoever's relevant to you in your area. If you live in a small town, I'm sure there's a uni at least. There'll be people who are visiting their sons and daughters who are in uni. Get some sort of credibility to say, I work with Nottingham University or something, and we house the parents who are coming up. Obviously, they're good people. They've sent their children to uni. Whatever sort of credibility you can get goes a long way.
So connect with businesses and people local in the area. Get a hook. And then when you're speaking to agents and landlords, you can say, actually, I'll be speaking with such a business, such a company. Nice.
Goes a long way, that, yeah.
That's nice. So how do you deal? I mean, you're somebody, I know you're a bit about your backstory. I know you didn't do brilliantly in school. I know you're not massively into paperwork and academics, and it's not your forte, but you're very good at getting deals and closing. How do you deal with all the paperwork and the contracts and making sure that all the legalities and the compliance is correct when in this business? Because there's a lot of compliance in the property industry. How do you get around that?
I think I've done all the mentors, heads in, calling them all. If I didn't have that, I never would have got this far. I'd have felt lost, honestly. It's like having, you know, my own staff, being able to call any department I want to click, whether it's business planning, legality. I've got a department I can call through the academy and book a mentor call. Usually within no time, someone will get back to me and give me all the advice I need. I've got a good team around me too that help with a lot of stuff, like all the admin sort of stuff. I delegate all of that. I don't do any of that. I'm just on the phone doing sales.
You got people that like work for you, virtual assistants?
Yeah, I've got a physical assistant, Bradley, who lives in Fanbridge, which I'd never heard of before. It's 4 hours for him to get to Birmingham. So we've only met a few times. That was pretty random, to be honest. He just fell in my lap. I was posting deals and he just kept messaging me saying, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? And it was so persistent. In the end, I was hosting a dinner in Birmingham, which I do every second month. And again, which was off your advice, get your investors together. And yeah, I do that, and that's quite fruitful. And I invited him up to one, really nice kid, impeccable manners, well presented, very intelligent. And so I partnered up with him, and I think he's been doing £3,500 a month in just commissions from his help. I'll give him a cut of each sale I make. He's in 19.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He's done £3,500 a month for the last few months. He's a really good
guy. That's awesome. So you're now able to start literally employing people and helping other people through your success in your company.
It's crazy when you say it out loud. It's got a bit blasé to some degree because it's been happening so fast, I don't really get a chance to reflect, but now saying it out loud, yeah, a lot's happened.
And also when you put on a dinner, so what are you doing? So every time you sell a deal to an investor, every other month, you'll put on a dinner and you'll say, if you've ever bought a deal through me and you're one of my investors, I want to take you out for a dinner.
Yep.
And then you, all these investors that have bought through you, coming down, seeing you. Why do you do that?
I'm quite a social person anyway, but when you said it before, I thought that is a good idea. You know, I enjoy that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it just really works. I've had people tell me that's the best night of my life, and I'm just like, wow, I can do even better than that the next time, you know.
Yeah.
It's just really good. I've had JVs through it. I've sold deals through it. So there's business that gets done. It's quite a social thing, you know, more than a business sort of thing. But it's been really good.
What I found is, let's say some doctor from London buys a deal off you, pays you £5,000 for a deal. Cool, bang. You've got to now invest in that relationship, because if you just think, oh, okay, I sold a deal to this. No, invite him for a dinner, take him out. That could end up being another deal, or maybe he'll want a joint venture with you, or maybe he knows loads of other investors. So it's almost like a very good use of time putting on a dinner and inviting all your investors in one go. Also, if you've got any investors that aren't happy with you, it gives them an opportunity to say, actually, my deal is not going too well. And then, bang, you can put it right. Like obsessing over your investors, obsessing over your customers, I think is a great thing. What's been the biggest challenge that you've had there in running your full-time property business?
Probably would be the admin sort of thing. I don't come from a very professional background, do you know what I mean? I didn't pass anything in school at all. I think I got an X. I didn't know that was a thing. You can get an X. Oh, no.
An F or a U.
No, mate, you can get an X.
An X. That sounds worse than anything.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. I didn't really care in school at all, you know. I always knew I'd join the military, and I just sort of laughed it all off, you know. Obviously, I wouldn't advise that. I just knew, though, that school and uni and the 9-to-5 sort of thing wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So adjusting now to this type of life has been quite a contrast.
I know. I remember you had serious struggles. Mm. And when you did your academy interview, we were saying, this guy's either going to be extremely successful, or this is going to be terrible. But it's looking like it was the former. I mean, you're doing extremely well. You're inspiring other people, reaching people I might not be able to reach. What was it about property that got you wanting to do this? Why did you want to get into property?
I mean, there's the old saying, you know, safe as houses. And I think everyone's considered how nice it would be to be able to buy a house and have lots of houses. But you think the way that the school and the banks teach you need to do a mortgage and have good credit and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of people, especially from my background, don't have that, mate, and that's not an option. And probably don't even know anybody who's done that to go to for advice, let alone to have someone in your family who's doing it or do it yourself. It's quite abstract. It is nice for me to be able to, make myself relatable to people.
What's your background then? Like, before you joined the army, whereabouts are you from? What was life like?
I lived in Handsworth, which is not a nice area out in Birmingham.
I know it very well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bad town. A lot of my close friends have, been put away now on long jail sentences and not done much with themselves other than that. And that's another thing that you say, like, watch who you're around. And as I noticed, A lot of things, I think you say, some of them, very many powerful points, some of them can go over people's heads. But like I said, it could be the 8th, 9th and 10th point that when you really start doing it, things will start to come together for you. Because for me, when I started to separate from people that I knew weren't any good, things really changed a lot. And the background I come from, I'd like to be able to help people from that background. But you've got to want to help yourself first, you know. You have to invest in yourself, whether it's your time, where you spend your time with, where you spend your money, all that sort of stuff. But I initially joined the military quite young to get away from all that too. And after that finished, I pretty much went back into the same circles. But
when did you serve in the military? What was your role? What was it like?
I was an infantryman with the 2nd Battalion, Royal Regiment of Fusiliers. It's called, the regiment's disbanded now. We got beat up pretty bad in 2009 in Afghanistan. In the peak of the war, the worst hotspot for all the, what we call contact combat when it kicks off. There was a lot of that. I think there was about 50 of us that flew out and 51 and 11, including myself, come home unharmed. As I remember on the chopper flying home, I look around and I was like, well, I don't recognise any of these boys. They're all substitutes. We but you're so busy. You know, as I was on the chopper leaving, I was like, who are all these people? Like, where's my original lot? You know, so that was really hard. And then coming home after that, it took me a long time, man, to get right, to be honest. It took a long time. Like, you can't do that sort of thing for months and months on end. It was supposed to be 6 months. We were there for seven. The chopper got took out. It was supposed to take us home. So we got stuck for an extra month eating spam and noodles and warm water that tastes like chlorine. So we had that for 7 months. Then coming home, everybody just left. It was, like I said, it was a really rough bit. It was literally the peak of the war. Disproportionately more contacts there than any other period. So that was really hard. And I'll be honest, it took me about a decade. You know, I left in 2010 and I sort of started to get my stuff together. Well, really, to be honest, joining the academy, man, you probably hear this a lot. It might become blasé to you now, but it changed my life, man. So powerful, such a powerful environment to be in. And that's why I renewed. It, to me, wasn't a second thought. Even if it had been 12 grand again, I would have done it again. Without a shadow of a doubt, I think you could charge double and it'd still be worth it. It's outstanding, the value. And it's so nice, it's uplifting to be able to add value to other people. Now I know things other than stripping machine guns. I know something that's actually useful for the normal world other than, you know, dark things, let's just say. It's really, really uplifting to be able to help people and advise people. And sometimes someone will ask me something, and as a manager, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I know this stuff. I can't believe I'm able to tell people about tax and contracts and lease options and buying houses. And no, that's not a good ROI. I'm like, who am I? You know, but like, it's all through the education I've had, you know, so.
How do you deal with, like, you know, imposter syndrome where you feel like?
I check the bank, mate. I get that a lot. And I do, I just check the bank and I'm like, okay, it is real. But I feel that quite oftenly, like, who am I? What is, my phone rings, we want advice. I'm like, who am I for you to ask me about property stuff? You know, buy houses for hundreds of thousands, you're asking me, like, who am I? So I haven't really got over that imposter syndrome yet.
But you just check the bank.
Check the bank.
Because ultimately, money is a certificate of bank.
Exactly.
So people are paying you money, it's because they're saying, your value.
Exactly, the value's there, yeah.
Yeah, the value's there. That's rough. I mean, I can't even imagine how tough that would be going through what you've been through, your background. I know how tough it would be living in Handsworth because I lived in Warsaw.
That's bad enough.
what did your friends and family think when you told them you were getting into property and you joined the academy? Like, was it? Because it's a completely different world, isn't it?
Very, very different. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of any of my family that's even been to uni, man. So when I said I'd spent 12 grand on a course, it's a lot of money. And they were just saying, that's stupid, you're an idiot, whatever you're doing, and all that sort of stuff. And now I think they're sort of slowly getting it when I'm taking them to houses and they're like, what, this is one of yours, yeah. And they're seeing that like, business is happening a lot. It's sort of becoming a bit more real now, but I think it's still quite surreal.
Yeah,
because they're very familiar with me, do you know what I mean? So they know just as well as I do that it's a massive contrast. I've gone from the life I was in to what I'm in now. I think even for them to this day, it's still a bit hard to believe, you know?
Yeah, so, and I remember when you first joined the academy, you were kind of, there was two things going on. Like you had the academy and property and business, but then in the early days, sometimes you'd sort of like slip back in the old environment and we'd happen to be calling you up, kicking your ass.
That did happen.
Where were you? You weren't on the Monday Night Mastermind. Yeah, pulling you.
Yeah. I have to give a shout out to Maquia who gave me the final call, that gave me the final push to get back in. She called me, man. It was like 11 o'clock in the afternoon. This is before I got really serious. I had signed to the academy, but I hadn't really, really got serious. It was like 11 in the afternoon. I'd been out late and doing stupidness. And I was in bed and I was embarrassed because she could tell. She's like, are you in bed? I was like, yeah, I'm still in bed. What's happening? And she was like, you haven't been doing the masterminds, the courses, like, where are you? And you're not doing this, like, and I was a bit embarrassed and I thought, man, I got to stop. It's one or the other now. It's like the crossroads, you know,
yeah.
And thank God, you know, thanks to him, obviously I chose the right way, so here I am today.
And but that's the thing, like, that's called accountability right there. I mean, you can't force anyone to be successful, but what you can do is you can hold them to account, you can give them all the tools and whatnot, and now, can you imagine going back to your sort of your old life, or do you think that's never going to happen now?
Absolutely not. No, I feel sorry for myself, even a little bit, my former self, and people who are still in that sort of environment. Because if you don't know, you don't know. It's easy when you know.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of people just haven't got that knowledge. So I mean, I think it's a great thing with the crash courses. to come and be around people who were doing. I remember my first crash course, I met people who were already existing landlords who'd come to the course, and I thought, but you're already in property. So if you need help, well, I'm definitely in the right place then. I'm coming along.
A lot of people as well,
yeah. Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah, like so many that were doing really well in life, just engineers that were doing like 80 grand a year, but they weren't happy with what they were doing. Whereas I don't meet a single person on the academy in property that's not got a big beaming smile on their face. And that's another reason why I love doing the dinners, because it's nice to be around winners, nice to be around positive people, you know.
Yeah. And we obviously do the academy dinners as well.
Yeah, which are better, of course, yeah.
No, it's all just different, isn't it? And then we've got the little clusters and everything. But no, I think for me, the biggest thing that's going to make people successful is being in the right environment, because you've heard me say this before, but I say if you've got a plant, a house plant, and it's not blossoming, you don't blame the plant. You change its environment. You put it in the sunlight. You water it. Because environment will determine your results in your life.
Exactly.
And I think,
exactly.
You know, you were like a social experiment. Take someone from Handsworth, wrong environment, wrong circle, and then plucking you out and dropping you in a new environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've absolutely blossomed. What's your thoughts about helping other people that are sort of from your old life circles, Handsworth, maybe people that are also from, you know, the military? What do you think the best way is to help them get on the property ladder and help them become financially independent like you are?
I mean, I just think they have to join the academy, man. I really do. I think about this a lot, you know, and I don't want to feel like I'm pushing it down people's throats, but I really do think it's not a question of can you afford it. You better do whatever you've got to do to afford it. You can't afford not to. Because what's the other option? Do a mortgage for 25 years on one house that you pass that to your kids and they're going to be taxed again, 40% inheritance tax? Yeah. It's horrible. I've learned ways to plan for efficient taxing now and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's something I think about a lot, is how to help people in the military and people from my background as well. And definitely something I want to go into. I've actually got a few ideas that perhaps we'll talk about afterwards, maybe about you know, some exciting stuff I want to do on that sort of front. Some videos. I need to start being a bit more active. A lot of people tell me, Ibby especially, pulled me aside the other day at one of your crash courses, because I still come to those just because I know the stuff is, you know, it's surface stuff to me now, having done a year in the academy and being active in property. But I still come just because I love. If I find it here in Birmingham, I'm coming.
Yeah,
just because the buzz, you know. And the environment, the people, I love it. But Ibby said to me the other day, he said, bro, what's going on with your Insta? So I need to be a bit more active on the socials. And I thought of a few ideas, like little social experiments, you know, inspired by your Financial Freedom Challenge, but going out into the city centre and proving that your environment is key. Like, what good is a diamond in the desert?
Yeah.
It's a bottle of water. But a bottle of water in the high street isn't worth that much because they're everywhere for a quid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And I thought about going into town with a sign just saying, like, property info for free, and people are probably just thinking it's some sort of scammer, keep walking past.
Well, did you see my experiment in Hyde Park?
Exactly.
Stopping people in the street offering to give them a free house, and not one person signed the contract because they thought
it's a scam. Whereas if you'd have said that at the academy now,
oh man,
we would have all been jumping up and jumping
on. That's another thing though as well. As soon as people say to me, Samuel, because you know, for me, training people to become financially independent, to get the properties out of it, it is a genuine mission for me. Like, I give my life to it. But at the same time, it's a business, it's an investment. But if there wasn't, if it was free, people would enroll that weren't serious. There's no kind of like barrier to entry. So, you know, it's a really interesting one. I have to say, if you don't pay, you don't pay attention.
It's a fact. It definitely puts a fire under your backside to motivate you. And it's worth it anyway. Like, you know, you'll make it back. I mean, people pay three times that for uni to go and make, you know, the same per year. They're lucky if they pay it off in their life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a no-brainer for me.
How long did it take you to sell your first deal? Because that's something you've been very good at, selling deals.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I was very slow starting.
Yeah.
I think for the first 3 months, I had all the excuses. I was still involved with, you know, another world, let's call it. And I was holidaying and just doing everything I could to not have to do this, to be honest.
Right.
You know, until when that final crossroads came, and I really...
Yeah, kicked your ass.
Yeah, pretty much, credit to her. I think it was around December. My first sort of deal was actually like a JV.
Right.
My first deal.
Tell me about it.
It was a beautiful property on Queslet Road in Birmingham.
I know, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Quizlet Road, right by Asda. Really lovely, brand new refurb property. And I sold my car, man. I had to sell my car, I had no money left. The stocks had beat me up. I'd invested pretty much my last into the academy. You know, a bit of Jack and the Beanstalk there, but it was a wise choice. And yeah, man, I sold my car, man. I forgot about that, you know. I sold my car, man.
Just to get this property?
To pay the rent and deposit, man. And then I was literally, I had nothing. You know, you said something, he said, say yes now, forget the details like that. I knew it was a good price for the property. I knew it would make a lot of money. And I thought, someone will loan me the money, someone somewhere. And there was a fella called Dean Martin, great guy, ex-military himself, very, very good man, honourable man. Him and his wife, Lorna, borrowed me the money for, I met them at one of your courses.
Yeah.
I met them at one of your courses, and they borrowed me the money to furnish the house. And I paid him back now twofold. He's very happy. We're going to do more together. That was my first one. And then that was like December. And then January, I sold my first deal, which was surreal. I remember thinking, it was unreal, man. That was the day I was checking the bank a lot. I just couldn't believe that it was real. I think a lot of people have that too. They think it sounds too good to be true. It sounds like a scam. It is a little too good to be true, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of investors out there that want good deals. They're wealthy. They haven't got the time to be going out in the rain on a Tuesday afternoon to negotiate, to have estate agents cancel on them at the last minute. They live too far. They're too busy. They've got their businesses, their jobs. So they'll happily pay £3,000, £4,000, £5,000 to a deal sourcer to do all that donkey work for.
Exactly. And that's where I come in.
Yeah.
There's people like that. There's people who I know that just don't naturally do very well on the phone or in agencies. They've got all the knowledge, but they're just not really confident.
They need someone to negotiate the price down. Mm. And you'll be able to jump on the phone and within 20 minutes, knock 20 grand off. They'll pay you 2 grand for that call. They're not paying you for that, for your time. They're paying you for the value you can bring them in. Mm-hmm. You become more valuable and you become rich.
Exactly. That's the thing.
That's awesome. So what would be some of your biggest lessons that you've learned? If you were to talk to your younger self from a year or two ago, just before you really started getting into property and becoming successful, what advice would you give?
I think I'd say take the jump, because a lot of people, like, you've got the voice in your head telling you to do one thing and another thing telling you to do another, like the right and the wrong, let's just call it. But it's easy to make excuses not to do something that you really want to do or you know might be successful, but you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You've got nothing to lose by trying. No one's going to come around and kick your head in or you know, you're not going to get put in jail for trying to do a business or trying to do so. Just try, just have a go. Like I say, it took me a good few months to really get rolling, but I was persistent and stuck at it and it worked. And I think, again, the environment, man, watch the environment you're in, because if I'd have been in the wrong environment, I probably would have quit after a couple of months. I went through about 60, I was getting a lot of yeses in the early days, and I'd turn up to a viewing and they'd say, yeah, we'll send you an application, and they never did. And I called Tyrone. I said, what's going on, man? Like, I'm getting all these yeses. And he goes, what do you think the problem is? And I said, you know, I ride my motorbike to these viewings. I turn up in my levers, and he was like, bro, didn't change your clothes, you know, dress a bit smarter. And he's helped me loads too, and Ibby, massive, massive help. I think I've probably done his head in the amount of time I ring that guy. Ibrahim is a great guy.
I remember the same with Evans. Evans used to constantly, where did my challenge with Evans, he was always getting, people being rude to him, and he's from St. Lucia, black guy. And yet maybe not, there's some people that might be being racist or whatever, but I said, at least dress smart, take the baseball cap off, spit the chewing gum out, give yourself the best chance.
Yeah.
You know, at least. And you know, now he's a property millionaire. And you've got to do that. You've got to be presentable and constantly monitor how can you improve.
Mm.
I love what you said about just try. So many people, they don't even try.
Mm.
What's the worst that can happen? If you start a business, what's the worst that can happen? It doesn't work out, and then you go back to a job. But you're in a job anyway.
Mm.
You know?
Exactly.
Have you had people being like discriminating against you, whether it's because of your, not even necessarily your race, it might be because of the fact that you've got a Handsworth accent. It might be because, you know, you didn't go to uni. Like, I had people discriminate against me when I got started because of my age. Mm. I was out there in the estate agents, wheeling and dealing, 17 years old. You know, so have you had that, or have you ever?
I have, because I've had so many no's, but to be honest, I don't focus on it really, because I've had so much success now. It's hard to look at the losses, you know.
Right.
But in the early days, if I have to really think about it, in the early days, it probably was how I sounded, how I looked. And in all fairness to those people, I probably wouldn't have trusted me either with the keys to my house, because I was turning up in like rugged motorbike clothes and you'd heard my bike coming from a mile away. It's a big bike and it's just not very professional, do you know what I mean?
So now
I put the shirt on and pull up in the car, you know, nice shoes and
you
all.
You still got the gold chain, but it's just underneath the shirt. I mean, you wear it.
Yeah, I always have a little something. You know what I mean? You know me.
Yeah.
But I think that listen, whether you're black, white, in between, gay, trans, whatever you might be, whatever sort of end of the spectrum you're at, there's going to be someone who likes you and someone who doesn't like you.
Right.
And I mean, like I said before, on a mastermind to you, I don't know if you remember, you asked about how am I so confident to keep pushing, and I said, look, I think we could get in your range now and drive around throwing wads of 50s at people, and someone's going to be, some people are saying, oh, that's great, look at these guys, this is really lovely, and some people are going to say, who do they think they are?
Yeah.
So no matter what you do, not everyone's going to like it, man. Yeah. But you've got to keep trying. You know.
It's funny because when I started out in business, I used to drive around like a Ford KA, 450-pound car with dents in it in bright purple. And people used to discriminate against me because like, it's in my car. I'd be like, nah, man. We ain't giving him an idea. We're not buying off him. And then now I'm successful and I've got nice fancy cars. If I turn up in a too expensive car, I struggle to negotiate because they're thinking, oh, what's wrong with you? Why are you trying to negotiate so hard? You're rich.
Mm, mm.
So actually, sometimes it's better to go in a Ford Focus than it is. But you're right. Some people won't like it because of the colour of your T-shirt. And it's really about a numbers game. If you look at some of the best football players or basketball players in the world or golfers, they'll be missing a lot more shots than the average person.
Mm.
But they're just taking more shots.
Mm.
You know, in fact, I think that winners lose more than losers lose.
You're trying more.
Yeah.
Trying more, absolutely.
Fail your way to success. Go for no, because the more no's you get, the more yes you get.
Absolutely. Another thing you said a long time ago, there's problems no matter what. Do you want rich problems or poor problems? You know, like you said, that's a rich man problem if ever I heard one. Your car's too expensive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
my tax bill's too big. How can I shrink it?
That's a good problem to have, man.
Yeah, you always got problems.
There's always going to be something.
And everything's hard in life. Mm. It's hard being rich, it's hard being poor, it's hard being married, it's hard being single, it's hard having kids, it's hard not having kids, everything's hard. You just gotta choose. What life do you want? What hard do you want? And I'm so glad that you've chosen the life of a successful businessman. And I'm excited to see the inspiration and the rippling effect of positivity that you have in the world as a result of your hard work and dedication.
I'm excited to cause those ripples too. I mean, anybody I could add value to, I'm more than happy. Like I said, it's uplifting for me. It's surreal. It's surreal and uplifting to be able to advise and help on this sort of subject matter. It still feels quite new to me, although I've been going for like a minute now. And I love seeing new people coming in and I can relate to them. I remember when I was just starting off and there's sort of little struggles and tips and ways I tripped, I could stop them from tripping maybe. So refreshing.
What being part of a community is all about. Like every week when we do the mastermind, it's not just me giving answers. Someone will have a problem and then it's like, I'll pull Kieran in or this person or that person. And you know, it's awesome. What would be your final words of wisdom on this interview right now?
I would say, definitely take the jump. Take the jump. Do what you need to do to be around the right people, be learning the right things, and do what you know is right. Just do the right thing. Do the right thing for yourself. Put yourself first. If you want to help your family, you want to help other people, you need to be in a position yourself first about to do that. So put yourself first in a sense of learning how you can be more valuable, how you can give more value, how you can be more of an asset. And everything else will just fall into line then, I'd say.
I love that, bro. You're proper inspirational. In the link on the description, I'm going to put a little link in, which is the £1 crash course. But when you come to the crash course for £1, what would you say to someone that's thinking about clicking the link and spending a day with me on the £1 crash course? What would you advise?
£1. It's the best pound you'd ever spend. I mean, that pound. I've come to crash courses and got deals through crash courses. I've got a property now, great one through that. But I would say to anybody else who's thinking of coming, again, it's not a case of can you afford it time-wise or financially. It's a case of you really can't afford not to. It's all the videos you see, all the people you see saying they're making so much money. It's one thing watching a video. You need to come in person and really see and look someone in the eyes and hear them tell you how much money they're making, what their life was like before, and really feel firsthand the contrast and the upliftment and the joy that people get from being involved with property investing. You need to be there in person, man, to really feel it.
Respect, brother.
Cheers, Sam.
I'll see you around, my brother.
Thanks.
Come down to the £1 crash course where I condense everything I know about property into one day. Tickets below £1, limited spaces. Book now. I'll see you there.